Welcome, everyone. It is the NFL Pick'ems by the Spread Show. I guess that's the name. Who the hell knows what the name of this is? Well, this is the NFL show. I'm from the Lingus Mafia. As usual, my name is Kev Manning, along with the Pick'ems extraordinaire, Mr. Billy Boddy. Except for this week, right? Oh.
Yeah, it's been like up and down now. Like, it's starting to zigzag, mm-hmm. like NFL can. Like, win, lose, win, lose. I mean, the last week I won.
Yeah.
The 12-1-3, that's like a fucking huge victory. Mm-hmm. And the weeks I've lost, it's usually been a case of I'm winning a little bit or I'm down a little bit from the Sunday or the overall from the week because I've been having bad Thursday night footballs. And yeah, so I just decided to play that last game to sort of, you know, make it a winning week where you can really say, oh, I won again this week.
Yeah.
Not just like, you can say, I won again this week and it's a fact. But when you have like members, they know that you won by like $50 mm-hmm. across your, you know, whole load of plays and you made $50. Not really taking into consideration that because I've always got new people, right? So like every week there's like a new guy that's his first week and you don't want anyone to come in and lose.
Yeah.
And that's the constant pressure because if it's the same people and everybody's like tied in the whole time to your service, the pressure's much less.
Yeah, you go,
but
sure,
you get those
we know how
new
this goes.
Sign-ups yeah. all the time. Yeah. And especially this Sunday, which was November the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally is the start of the month. And that's where you're going to get the most people because they want to get the full month of Patreon for
sure.
all the money. They got fucking killed. Like, they got killed on a Sunday. Like, there was no way back. But we were making some inroads into it on that. On Monday Night Football, where mm-hmm. I needed Fournette to catch over three passes, and he lands dead on three. He doesn't get a single pass in the second half. And then I have this huge teaser going, a couple of teasers as well, where I need Tampa to win by four or five, and for the total to be under. The total's not in any danger at all, because once you add the extra 6 or 7 points to it, it becomes 52-53, which mm-hmm. is, the game was nowhere near that. But fucking Jones then goes down the pitch. A goal down the field, as you say, mm-hmm. and it's just making like first down after first down. He made 4-16 against a defense that murdered Aaron Rodgers. Like, you cannot legislate for that. And it's just got to the point where, you know how you want to be like, oh, I'm so fucking good. Like, you know, when we were winning 4 weeks in a row, we started four winning weeks in a row. 4-0 with our locks. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, we're 8-0. And oh, look at our secondary locks. We're 15-1. And you want to peddle all these numbers like you got the inside track and
sure.
you really figured the sport out. But then, like, when you get to this stage, you have to kind of look at it a little bit like this is a real lottery. There are edges on certain games and you can make some, like, good calls. But sometimes, like, it is proper into lottery territory where, I mean, you've got people winning money in this sport by playing numbers, as in they don't give a shit about yards or defenses or DVOA or nothing. They're literally just looking at numbers. And you've got guys like playing spots. It's like, oh, this team off a spot, or this team overperformed the spread, or they underperformed the spread. Like, there's a trend where if teams underperform the spread by 21 points,
mm-hmm.
and I forget if they're a favorite or an under. If a favorite underperforms by over 21 points, then they cover the next week. There's trends like Kansas City off a bye week, or not Kansas City off a bye week.
The Patriots?
Shit. No, not the Patriots off a bye week.
Packers?
It's Andy Reid. Andy Reid.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Yeah, that's Chiefs. Okay, just Andy Reid. I
yeah,
got you.
Yeah, well, I know it's a Chief, but it's a trend that's been carried over from Philadelphia. So yeah, Reid off a bye. There's so many like blind spots that people will play,
mm-hmm.
and then there's things that people will play where they'll be like, oh, the public are 90% on this game, so don't bet it. Like last week, that was a thing where people were like, oh, everybody's betting Green Bay, but they're not moving the line. Who's mm-hmm. they? They're the books, right? So
yeah.
It's like they talk like the bookies are playing a simulation of something that they videotaped earlier on and put it in a box and they're going to air it for you. That's not how all this works.
Yeah.
Like all these expressions that people come out with, they're like going, oh, look at that. They are not moving the line. They want you to take Green Bay minus 6.5. They're baiting you to take Green Bay minus 6.5. I heard all that shit. Mm-hmm. Like afterwards, I never heard anybody good enough to say it beforehand. Where I never saw one person come out and say, some people didn't take the play, right? Some people were like, this is too obvious. Everybody's on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was that. I mean, I give people credit if they did that. We didn't, but they did. So some people didn't play at all. But I didn't see any Minnesota plus 6.5 last week. But then afterwards, I saw all these fucking couch experts coming out and saying, oh, they were just begging you to take Green Shit. Bay. They were like, I was like, they haven't played the game yet, right? Like, it doesn't – we didn't know that the Cook was going to start running through the Packers. But I tell you what, like, we've now seen that quite frequently with Green Bay. And if they come up against certain teams who have a good running back, they're fucked. Like, this team are not going to get very far.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly not going to win the NFC. And they're certainly not going to be the one seed if they have enough games coming up ahead where teams are going to be able to run all over them. So this is a big, big problem now because this Vikings team got made to look really good and all these people were coming out and saying, oh, this, that, and the other. But that was your lock. My lock was okay because we recorded at Philadelphia 3.5 and the next morning it was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it went as far as like 10.5. But I think they covered every number that it went to, so it didn't matter. So I got my shit back on track with that. But across, I mean, I don't need to come on here and say this. Like, I mean, this is the thing I come on and say. I don't need to talk about this. A lot of the guys who do this job, they kind of talk about, oh, we won. And then they lose. And it's just like, just all they do is like, yeah, let's talk about the next week. Let's
ignore it all.
Let's move. There's no recapping mm-hmm. at all if they lose. The only recaps you'll get is when people win. So I think it's more credible to do both sides of the recap. In fact, I think I almost take it to the other extreme where I'll recap the shit out of something where we lost.
Yes.
And if I win, it's like, I'll just move on and be like, you know what, I won. I expect to win. I'm charging people, you know? So I should win.
Well,
kind of like that kind of attitude.
There is a lot of craziness going on this week with these games because a lot of people are in COVID lockdowns and fucking wild shit going on. A side note on when we're going to win these games, I figured out a way we could pretty much win all the games. When we get ahead by just a little bit, we just declare we won. I learned that, you know, in our country, that's what we do over here. We go, stop scoring. Stop. It's over. Except for the ones we're losing. Then we say they could keep playing. And hopefully we catch up.
See, and this is the thing. Like, so whilst I've openly talked about like shitty start to the month.
Yeah.
I've won like so much money on the Europa UEFA Champions League in the last few days. I was 7-2 on Tuesday. I keep saying 7-2. It's 9-2 if you include other the additional players. So 9-2, 6-3 today. And if Trump gets Georgia, because that's the only Republican bet that I made, I go 5-0 on the election, including
and you were scared. And you were scared calling me yesterday. Fucking country fucking assholes. And I'm like, it's early. They haven't counted the mail yet. But I was depressed. I was like, this is insane. And I fucking
yeah, but the line was swinging. The reporting was swinging. And they were going, oh, you know, these pollsters really need to look at themselves in their model and all this kind of shit. And it was looking fucking really like gloomy as shit. And then the betting line moved and like Biden was available at 4-1.
Yeah.
So I landed a play where I was like going, so they were saying Trump's going to win, but Biden's involved in Ohio and Ohio was looking 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, there's no way that Biden takes Ohio and Trump wins this election because everybody that gets Ohio gets it. So I chucked out a little in-play on Ohio. In the end, it ended up going to the Republicans, and we ended up winning when it was a 50-50. It should never have been 50-50. It was a mistake by the books because the Ohio were doing the walk-up second, the ballots first, right?
Yeah.
And that's been the big difference because now they're doing walk-ups first, ballots second, and that's how it's all changed.
Yeah, and certain places, it's weird. It's certain places said we'll do the mail after, and then certain places started opening the mail ahead of the election. It's state by state. So a lot of those that you saw, like somebody was always in a lead by a ton, all of a sudden it fucking stopped and start cripping the other way.
So I think to myself, okay, so we're going to lose 2 units on this election because Biden's not going to win. But we've recovered half a unit back on this Ohio thing. I figured I can start winning money on the states. So Biden moves at 4-1. And I know I hear about his mail-in vote situation and it's going to be reversed in the other places. So I take a massive stab and go, okay, I've won 50. I can lose two units on this. It's not my field of expertise. Nobody thinks of me as a political guy. But I have gambled for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have seen line movement and know what to do in that extent. So as soon as Biden shifts from 4-1 to 7-2, which is marginal, it's between 3-1 and 3-1 and 4-1. I give that to my clients with all of the winnings from Ohio. Next thing we know, Biden's down 3-1, 5-2, 2-1, 6-4. Like he's starting to, there's rumors coming out that he's well in it for Arizona, which is like moving everything because it's worth, I think 10 or 11 electoral votes or whatever. So it just starts completely switching up. So we are on Biden twice and we are going to win more money on Biden, or the same amount of money, sorry, on Biden for the in-play bet as the original bet that we placed in March when I said we got to take Biden because Trump is fucking up this COVID thing and there's like video compilations being put out about how badly he's doing and whatnot. And the estimated deaths are this. And if it does reach this number, then he's fucked. So that's what we ended up doing months ago. And then we're going with our play with Biden. We doubled down on Biden. And then we start winning all the states. We win all of these Democratic states. We won Michigan, Wisconsin. And then it started to become 50-50 Georgia. And I was like going, okay, so this one I've got to put on the other way. Because the same philosophy that I apply to the others in terms of states don't flip unless the polls are like a certain amount ahead. And I was able to like calculate all of this stuff in my head where it was like, okay, so if it's a million ahead or whatever, which is exaggeration, that and the postal votes are coming in, he ain't going to catch that one. But if Trump is, if Biden is, 200,000 ahead with the walk-ups, then Trump's going to take the seat because the 200,000 is going to get wiped out by the hillbilly walk-ups, right? So I had all these like figures in my head from the amount of people that had voted and just could basically, I was ahead of the 4-1 for the postal voting being around about 4-1 before the books were. So that's how we were able to like recoup everything and win everything yesterday. So if Georgia comes in, I've gone 5-0 on this.
Have you done the Pennsylvania?
I haven't got Pennsylvania. You didn't do that yet? Action on Pennsylvania. No. I think I'll leave it.
That one's very Wisconsin, crazy.
Michigan, Ohio. Yeah, I mean, it's been really, really good. So, and then the result was good as well. He just needs to, as we're recording this, he just needs to confirm Michigan and Nevada, and that's it.
Well, Michigan's confirmed. It's the two that's got to be confirmed are Nevada and Arizona, which seems to be, but they have not said this is the projected thing. Philadelphia or Pennsylvania is going to go for a fucking while, but the other ones are like still coming. But those are pretty set to go. He wins those two, it's over. So
But we need him to take Pennsylvania because then Trump can't be saying I lost by two.
Yeah.
And it was unfair.
They're going to be fucking, I need recon. It's so funny because he's gone out there. Trump has said they need to stop counting the votes. It should be done now. Stop counting. Except for Arizona and Nevada where I'm losing, continue to count. It's fucking insane. I'm like, how is this? It's fucking madness to me, but like anyone should be surprised. We've dealt with madness for fucking a long time.
It's like a little kid.
It is very much a child. And
it's like,
someone said,
it's like, I didn't lose.
Yeah, someone said nobody went to his birthday party or some shit because, yeah, and now Giuliani's fucking yelling. And I used to like Giuliani. Now he's a fucking clown to me at this fucking point. And he was after the mafia. So he's not a friend of mine. Let's try to win some fucking money. And It kills me, Billy, because the first game is Green Bay at San Francisco. And last week, I said almost jokingly, because I could see the week in advance on my betting thing, where you can bet. And God, what were they fucking... I think the Packers were only giving like fucking 2 points or something.
One.
Yeah, and I was like, should we bet $1 million on this one? And now, Kittle is out, Garoppolo is out. They might all have COVID too. That's being talked about. They shut down the facility. Who knows if this game now happens tomorrow. And I'm like, fuck. And I looked, and I think it was 6 that Green Bay's getting now or giving.
Yeah, 5.5.
So you got a 5.5. I get it at 6. This morning I saw it at 6, and I grabbed it quickly. Rodgers doesn't play well at Levi's. And Fausti was ready to bet on the Niners before this all happened, because it's like they got a great.
You grabbed the 6. You grabbed the 6.
No. I took it while there was at 6. I mean, I took Green Bay sure. Yeah, and that was at 6 there. So I was like, man, they got to win by a fucking touchdown. This team is depleted. I could see, like they do, it stays tight in the beginning. Because they have a very good front still, and like they did the Seattle. It took a little bit, but as I'm always told here, so many injuries, they used to have depth. They can't rotate anybody. They have to stay in practically the whole game, so they're fucking dying by the end. And it gets a lot easier. So in the beginning, shit might stay tight, although the Packers don't have their running back either, which means it's going to be the throw show. But the secondary of the Niners is, you know... down, and I just see Rodgers is just fucking good. He's great on the run. He throws things out of his ass left and right, and he ends up on a dime. I fully believe that the Packers will win this game tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that we've got big issues if we don't win this game against a team that are depleted, and also like we should run it up because
they got to prove something.
Or they put us out. So
yeah, and you know. Last year. I think, I mean, like you were saying, you know, Packers are going to Super Bowl, but now you might have changed your mind a bit. They are very flawed, and you could see. It wasn't just, oh, well, Tom's team's good, so, you know, they lost to a good team. You know, they got beat up, but they lost to a good team. And then you see, well, shit, they lost at home to fucking garbage Minnesota who had one win. Then you go, maybe there's some fucking issues here. And Rodgers continues his, if he's down by a point, he loses. And that continues on again. So we're both on the Green Bay train here. Going into Sunday, the 5-3 Chicago Bears are going into the 5-2 Tennessee Titans. The Bears have no offense. They're even talking about putting Mitch Trubisky back in, which tells you where they're at right now. I said, okay, put your GM hat on now, Billy. Move aside the fact that you're rivals with Chicago. Say they hired you. You're the GM of Chicago. Your job is to make them good. Do you think it is crazy to say whoever gets the number one pick in the draft, you say, I will trade you my first this year, my first next year, and my third and fifth this year to take that number one spot so you could get Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback? Do you think that's insane or not?
If you're who?
If you are the GM of the Bears.
Well, you were telling me that there might not be a quarterback problem. You said it might be a problem with everything around, after all.
Possibly, but we know. We know Foles is not some starting great. I mean, he goes into these streaks where he's great. If he has offensive line, I don't think he's terrible. Our offensive line is fucking horrific. But obviously, you know, Trubisky's gone. He's fucking out of here. But long term, Foles is not the answer. I do feel 1,000 times more confident going into a game when he's the quarterback, because he could read a defense, but he has no legs to get the fuck out of the way. And he does make a couple decisions where it's like, you're holding on to the ball too long. But everyone knows this Lawrence is going to be the future, and he's going to be there for a while and all that kind of, like Burrow. I don't think that's a crazy thing. I think it's worth the fucking risk to give up that much to get him and be set at that, because they've just never had a quarterback ever. They have a lot of needs, but they've never had a fucking quarterback since McMahon. Cutler was okay here and there. You find it hard to give up draft picks like that, though? Like that many?
Yeah. I don't know. The draft, the whole draft thing for me, because I don't watch
college really.
as much college as I really should, in terms of at least to the point where I'm seeing this guy and that guy and trying to figure out where they get drafted. I mean, my interest comes around when, you know, they start to cover it and they start making their own projections. I'm not there watching college football and making projections on the players. So for me, I don't think I'd be able to do it. And if there's no automatic, like, standout where, you know, like there's like a tour or whatever, unless it's that obvious.
Well, he is obvious, though. He's the one. It's like they're talking about him staying in college so he can't go to the Jets. That's how bad the Jets are, where, and the option was either stay in or publicly say, do not draft me if you're the Jets. I will not fucking go and be a total dick and go, I'm not going there because you ruin people. Like Sam Darnold is not garbage. He is now because he went to the fucking Jets. They ruin people. So, you know, that's that thing. So anyway, when it comes down to this game, I think that Tennessee is favored by 6.
Yeah, they are favored by 6.
Yeah. Okay. I have no faith to bet on Chicago. The run defense isn't that great. They're missing Goldman from the middle of the pile when he opted out for COVID. So that is not helping the run game. Derrick Henry's going to run quite a fucking bit. I don't think Tannehill will do much damage, but I do believe the run opens up the pass, and they're going to be lined up in that box, and he'll just end up throwing a bit on them. So I would take Tennessee when it comes to this.
Tennessee were not a good cover team before. They had that one cover against the Bills, and then hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Just sat down on the on a tap that goes off when you press down on it rather than move it around. Oh, fuck me, can you hear that? I can't even get it off.
What is it? What did you sit on?
I'm in this bathroom in this hotel.
Oh,
and it's one of these taps where if you sit, you push down on the taps. You don't twist them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you sat on the faucet.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So this is not a good cover team, and now since they lost to the Steelers, they've now lost 2 in a row.
And they lost to the Bengals last week. Yeah.
Bears are unfortunately a good cover team. Even last week they cover. So I think they'll cover here somehow.
Okay.
They'll make this game difficult to win for Tennessee, but they will eventually win by, you know, 3 or something.
Okay. Denver, who's 3-4, going into Atlanta, who is 2-6. Denver pulled it out of their ass last week because San Diego just can't seem to finish a game, which means their coach will be fired after this year, and then they'll be actually good next year. I think Atlanta's going to win this game, and I would think since they're home, they're favored by 3.
3.5 at the moment.
Okay. I just think they're a better fucking team. I would take Atlanta in this. And you know what that means? I'm never taking Atlanta ever again.
I took Atlanta last week and they won for me. So on Thursday night, that was my first Thursday night that I've got right since the Chiefs opened up the season. It's been really hard. That one was right. I don't know. I just had a feel for them last week. And I don't know. They've won 2 road games. They should be a lot better than what they are. They should be a 5-5-3 team. But I think they win this game. I'm not going to bet it, though. I'm not going to bet on Atlanta. But they cannot go the whole season without winning at home. And this is very winnable. Eventually, they have to get that back to back. I mean, and look, I mean, really, really, they've won three games in a row, and this should be a fourth game in a row, and we should be talking about how they've recovered. They beat the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
What happened should never have happened, and it will never happen. We won't see that ever again, where some dude accidentally scores a touchdown. So yeah. they should be coming into this looking for their fourth straight win. So I'll take them here.
Okay. Seattle 6-1 going to Buffalo, who is 6-2. I think Buffalo is going to win straight up. I believe I saw that Seattle was favored though, and it was it by two?
By three.
By three.
Oh, two and a half.
Okay.
2.5.
Jesus. So Buffalo is getting points here. I think it's traveling west to east. And, I mean, Seattle's got to lose again. And it's Seattle's defense is, obviously, you see holes in it. But Buffalo, like, last week it was their try to do a statement game, and they barely beat fucking New England. If it wasn't for Cam fucking up. I mean, Jesus. But I think Buffalo's going to win this outright. So I would take the points.
Why are you taking Buffalo?
They're going east from west to east. I think Buffalo's offense will be do too well against the offense or the defense of Seattle, and I think Buffalo's defense is stronger than what Seattle can handle out of the total. So I do think Buffalo will win outright. And if they're getting points, fuck, take the points and the win.
No, this team have lost to every contender this season. They beat teams under 500,
mm-hmm.
and they lose to all the contenders, which is what Seattle are. So I'm going to take a different play here to you.
Okay. Baltimore, who needs to bounce back. 5-2. Going into Indianapolis, who is 5-2. It depends which Lamar Jackson shows up, and it depends which Phillip Rivers shows up. I'll take Baltimore to win the game outright, and I think Baltimore should be favored, but I would say they're favored by 1.5 or 2.
2.
There you go.
But I think this will be a lot easier than that. I think Baltimore will win this game, especially after losing last week. They're going to come out pretty pissed off, I think.
Okay. Carolina 3-5 going into the 7-1 Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City will win this game. Now it's by how much do they win it? I would say they are favored by 10.
Yeah, they're favored by 10.
Very nice. I don't like when it's that high. I really don't. Even though I did take Kansas City last week when they were favored by what, fucking 19, and won that one. One of the few ones I won last week.
I think that was the most public bet. I think just ahead of Green Bay.
Wow. See, and I was like, and I bet the least on it because I was like, just for fun, I'm taking Kansas City. And I'm like, fuck, that was the one. Should have. And the three I put big money on that we talked about last week were like, oh, we should just put our money on like three of them because they're like guarantees. Every one of them fucking lost.
No, they went 2-2.
Well, for me, it was I took Buffalo, I took Green Bay, and I took
Seattle.
No, I took I took them, but not for the big money. The three that I took for the big money was that and Cleveland. And then fucking, they just fucking lost outright. Buffalo didn't that cover.
That wasn't in our four. Like the four we said, I said if you take these four,
mm-hmm.
how do you lose? If we're here 2-2, we're talking about how New England covered, or how San Francisco cover, or how New York covered, or how Green Bay got covered against, or even lost. So yeah, they were the four, 100%. As I remember, they stood out. They went 2-2, which was a real right. In some ways, about what we said,
it serves me right putting money on Cleveland for anything. I think I'd take Carolina in this if I had to take one. I don't think I'm really going to touch it though, because I think this might actually break even. I think they might lose by 10.
Yeah, Carolina coming off the long rest, and actually going back to a pick from earlier, I think that strengthens my stance on Atlanta Falcons. I said I wouldn't play that, but I might play that now. I'll see where the number's at on Sunday, because under a touchdown, well under a touchdown, and having 10 days off against the Denver, who were involved in a fucking showdown with the Chargers, which is a divisional game too. Yeah, I can see this being a massive letdown for Denver going back to that game. But yeah, Carolina, I think I don't like taking anyone's cover against the Chiefs, because that falls under the category of, I know you're going to lose, but I hope you don't get butt fucked. And I don't take those bets. Yeah.
Lose, but lose softly. Okay, we have the Detroit Lions, who now Matt Stafford is not playing, going against Minnesota Vikings. 3-4 versus 2-5. I will go with Minnesota 100% now without Matt Stafford playing, and I would say they are favored by. It's got to have grown, so I would say 7.
Did Detroit were involved with it? Oh yeah, Detroit played the Colts last week. We were high on them. We were high on the Colts
Yeah,
last week.
got one that
There's no
one.
line. There's no line for it, unfortunately.
All right, because they're trying to figure it out, because they just announced today Matt Stafford wasn't playing. Let me see
I
on
mean,
my.
they're saying it's going to be here. It's been left up at four somewhere.
Okay, let me see. Yeah, it has no line on the one I looked at too. Okay.
But
All right.
it was either it was at four, or it's been left at four. But
It had to
we won't
be
pick
at
it.
four before. Because now, if it's four, grab that fucking thing, because that I can't imagine they could keep up.
I'm not gonna do it because some
Yeah.
because but you know I have it I have it at four and I can grab it. But then last week I put out Eagles at 3.5, and then the podcast came out, and by the time people listened to it, there was a seven. I don't want that to be the same situation. Like,
Okay.
so I mean, the UK books are also like behind by a few hours. Like, I remember I always say to people, the Andrew Luck retirement took like a day for us to react, and you were able to bet every other contender for the division and make a massive profit. I didn't. I just bet on the top. I just bet on Tennessee, and they did win. I think Tennessee and the Texans, and I didn't bet on the Jags, but I think the Texans won it in the end.
Okay.
I can't remember actually, but yeah, that was one of the. Oh yeah, and you could bet on like the Colts and not to make the playoffs, and you could make various like bets that where they left up lines that were luck that centered around luck playing. That was what it was. So yeah, this is the kind of situation that we had last week with the Eagles, and this is the kind of situation that we'll get with this game now, because I can get Vikings minus four this
Okay.
second.
The New York Giants 1-7 going into Washington, who is two
Best one
and
in seven team
five.
in the league.
Yeah, but they are in every guy. I'm like, they get like two pieces and they can fucking flip this thing quick. I still don't trust old Danny Dimes over there. I would say Washington is favored here, but I would say it's 3 points.
It is three, and I'll take the Giants outright to win this. They're a better team, and they already beat Washington, and they have no home field advantage because that's even before.
That fucking phone.
Yeah, it's in flux
Silent.
about this election. Yeah, but they're the better team. They won at home, and they're not just poor at home. Like, no one's got home field
Yeah,
now,
goofy home
really.
field, yeah.
But yeah. The Giants are better on the road, and they'll win here.
I do think this will end up I would think Washington wins, but I think by three. So I think this will be a wash. Houston 1-6 going into Jacksonville 1-6, and Minshew is not playing. They're bringing up a rookie quarterback, so I am highly on Houston here. To for 2-1-6 teams, I think this should be a good butt fucking, to tell you the truth. But I think they are probably favored by 7.
Yeah, seven.
Okay. I would take Houston here. I think they win by more than a touchdown. I don't like when it's right at those numbers. They scare me, but I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always the case of if you have a team that can't score,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, that should be a key factor. But for the other team needing to score approximately somewhere between 21 and 28, they'll cover, they'll win and cover easily. Mm-hmm. It's virtually impossible. I've not seen quarterbacks come in, especially, you know, unless you're those number one draft picks and, you know, in all round one of the draft and you come in and there's a lot of hype around you. These stand-in guys, they don't come in and put up, you know, 21 points.
We have the Las Vegas Raiders 4-3 going into the, as I say, San Diego Chargers, who are 2-5. I think the Raiders have improved, obviously, this year, and I think this continues. Chargers are not worried about home field because this would what it would be if fans were allowed anyway. So I would say the Raiders are favored here, but I would say they're favored by 3.
The Chargers are 1-point favorites.
No shit. All right.
Short trip as well. So
that's very good to. Yeah, that is literally a couple hours. Yeah, I will take the Raiders with that for sure.
Okay.
What are you thinking? Agree. Okay. Pittsburgh 7-0 going into the 2-6 Dallas Cowboys. I was telling a friend of mine who's Pittsburgh. I go, why do I have this weird feeling that this is the game that Pittsburgh gets bit? I would not bet it, but I don't know why I feel like this is like people be like, what the fuck happened?
Go crazy, man.
I know. I would never fucking put money on it, but I have no clue why I think this. And I would assume that Pittsburgh is favored by 14.
13.5.
Ah, shit.
Take it.
I know. I was going to think. I mean, that's a lot of fucking points. I might take the fucking points with Dallas, but.
Dallas will start with the ball, and there will be a turnover. Pittsburgh will score in the first time. They'll have a 3-and-out, and then they'll score again. And in 6 minutes into the game, you're covering.
Oh, my God. This is fucking wild. I don't know if I would even touch the game, to tell you the truth. When I see that amount of points, I really am never comfortable.
Realistically, yeah, I bet you they're covering in the first quarter.
See, I have no doubt that they end up covering, like, real quick or a lot of time. I'm always like, it's that last fucking backdoor shit where they stand back because they're up by fucking 17. And you go, well, fuck it. Who cares? We're up by 17. 3 fucking scores here. And they'll let them walk down and score the touchdown. And then they lose. They win by 10. And you're like, you motherfuckers. So that's what worries me. That always does. Because we know how everybody backs the fuck up when they're well ahead. A 17 ahead, you go, all right, 4 minutes left. I don't give a shit. I'll back up. But
Never understood that, but
okay,
so what about this then? The first quarter line is Pittsburgh -3.
Oh, I like that one.
First quarter, so yeah, you get 15 to cover, and the first half line is 7.5.
You get worried, like, do they get off to a slow start and they're like, what the fuck's going on, and then they blow them out, you know. I like the first quarter one, though.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, I think I could be up 14 in the first quarter.
Yeah, I'd cover easily if I did. I mean, you can't even bet 14 in the first quarter, but yeah.
Yeah, let me write that. First quarter, 3. Okay. Miami, 4-3, going into Arizona, 5-2. I think Arizona is favored here. I think Arizona's favored by. I'm going out on a stretch. I'm going to say 6.
No, just 4.
Okay. I like Arizona, though. I think they're going to win this game. Now it's a matter of getting past 4. You know, that Rams thing last week, I'm like, the Rams offense fucking scored for the Dolphins It was unbelievable. I thought I was watching replays. And every time I looked up, I go, didn't that just happen? And it was something new. One by one, Goff completely shit the bed on that fucking game. Tua really didn't have to fucking do anything. So he's like, look at me, I won.
Arizona are off a bye though as well here, aren't they?
Yeah, they didn't play. And they won the last time too, against Seattle. So they got feel good about themselves. I'll go with Arizona.
I'll take them off the bye week. I mean, that isn't a good trend this year. In fact, like, more teams have lost off the bye than have won or have not covered off the bye. I need to check that. I'll know by the time I do my write-ups. But yeah, I'll take Arizona. I don't look at these trends. Like, a lot of these guys are like, oh, this has happened 62% of the time, so, you know, it'll happen again. It's like, first of all, the bookies, they know that that happens 62% of the time, and they make lines to adjust for the previous circumstances. Mm-hmm. That's all lines are set fresh. Like, they don't put these lines out at the start of the season and then don't change them.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, that whole thing about, oh, this will happen because this you know, because always the teams don't wake up in the morning, and, you know, the Arizona team don't walk into the dressing room and talk to each other, go, hey, you know, like the whole bunch of guys that were here like 5 years ago and everybody that was here last year, and they didn't cover the spread. Like, they don't give a fuck. Like, it's a brand new game and situation. Like, it's a whole different group of players from previous year. Like, it's all circumstantial to to the day. So yeah, just bear that in mind.
Okay.
Before you start reading up all these stats about, it's just, there's nothing to do with this game, but it's just always a case of, I just said I'll take this team off a bye. You know why? Because they got to rest last week and Miami played. That's and when the two teams are equal, you take the team off the bye. Well, this team are better and they got the bye and they're only laying 4.5 points. So that's the logic.
Is it 4.5 or 4?
It's 4 or 4.5. It's okay. 4 where I'm looking right now. But my point is that's why you take the play. Whether this whole thing of like teams off a bye isn't working this year, the likelihood is that will stabilize. This will not be the year where around about 40, under 50%, I don't know what exact number is, under 50% of the teams come off a bye and win. We know that hasn't happened before. And we know there'll be stabilization of that tactic because the fact that teams are coming out rusty or lackadaisical will be overridden by the fact that teams eventually come out better prepared. So that's my opinion on it anyway.
The Sunday night game is the New Orleans Saints 5-2 going into the 6-2 Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers. First
this is
week
the right game on Sunday for finally.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. First week, it was these two teams, and we both said, okay, Tom going to be, he doesn't know the team that well, and we expected New Orleans. New Orleans isn't that great. Drew could barely throw 10 yards down the field. I think Tampa's getting in a groove. Antonio Brown's going to be there now, who Tom already has a good touch with throwing the ball. I would say Tampa's favorite here. I think they're favored by 6 or 6.5.
It's just 4.5.
4.5. Jump on this one. I will be taking that one for sure. I would take Tom too. I mean, I think it was kind of a good thing that they barely beat the Giants. It's a little bit of a reality slap in the face for them to be like, you know, you guys don't have it all down yet. And you got room to improve. Or were they overlooking that because they're like, well, it's a garbage team and we have the Saints next week? Kind of taking, you know how people play down to people. I think that had a lot to do with it too, even though I think Tom really wanted to fuck New York. It's that laundry that he's got a problem with. But I got no problem giving 4 and taking Tampa.
First, I don't think the Saints are that bad. They're winning. They've now won 4 in a row. So, I mean, that's really all they can do. They're not bothered about our spreads and covering them. Mm-hmm. And they have the weapons here to like win this game. I know like Tampa have improved, but that defense didn't look as hot as it was rated last week. Plus, the difference is like when with Green Bay, for example, where Rodgers is getting murdered out there, like these guys will do something different. Like they have more weapons. Like they're not relying on Drew Brees to get them out. In fact, Drew Brees isn't the player that he was, and this team is still winning games and finding other ways to do it. I mean, Kamara is just important in terms of what he does and brings to the table. So I think this will be a much more difficult game to win for Tampa than us, who lost that game in one quarter as well. And that's kind of being put up as Tampa's big signature win because they ain't really beat no one else. So I'm going to take these points if I get more of them. I don't want to take the 4.5 now. I want to take something close to six. If the line is 5.5, I can buy it up to six or even up to a touchdown. Depends where it goes. Because I can imagine that this is going to be a highly bet game because it's Sunday Night Football and people will start backing Brady, revenge spot. New Orleans haven't been covering spreads. They beat Green Bay. There's gonna be loads of reasons that people will tell themselves to take the Bucks. It's gonna be a big public team this week, and the Saints might cover that game. It has a feel of Minnesota Green Bay from last week. This one where people are gonna look at that, and go, oh, and you have to lay 4.5 with the Bucks, and they're much better than Saints now. I don't think that they are.
And the Monday night is going to be the New England Patriots going 2-5 into the 0-8 Jets. Is this the one that Jets fucking bite someone in the ass? I think they'll bite somebody in the ass one of these fucking days. And boy, talk about how the mighty have fallen if it happens to be New England. But is this the game that New England gets right? I would say New England is favored here, and I'd say they're favored by 7.
Yeah.
There you go. Look at that. Right on the money, baby. God, I could see them fucking winning by exactly fucking 7. If I have to, I would take New England. Just because the Jets are the fucking Jets.
I think New England win this game quite comfortably. I think there's going to be a lot of that concern around in terms of all they cover this spread. I think you'll see some sharps coming in and taking the Jets. I think if you want to play this, take it now, because I think that the 7.5 is going to be available soon. And that's when the sharps will start taking 7.5 or 8. And they'll probably move it back down to 7. But then that's also concerning to people when the money is on one and then all of the public are on the other. So that seems like when you should take the sharp side of it. But for me, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be Patriots minus 7. People will look at that and take it, and then the sharps will come in and think that the Patriots can no longer win games by more than a touchdown, even against the worst team in the league. I think they can. I think that they'll win this game like 23-10, something like that. I think it won't be. I think it won't be that compelling. The under looks good here at 43 points.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one, thinking about that. Okay, this is time for our locks in here. I have like 3 that I really like.
Really?
Yeah. I like the Green Bay one for sure tomorrow. I put money on that this afternoon already. So, because I'm like, I don't need that point going up anymore. So I jumped on that.
You lost on Green Bay last week, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've lost on Green Bay a couple times now, actually. But I'm like, you know, because I do expect them to win. I think they've got to win by a fucking touchdown in this. If they don't, like you said, they're in big fucking trouble. And they got a lot more fucking issues to deal with if they're going against a team who is a shell. Because it's not like it's really home field. You know what I mean? So, and Rodgers is from here. So, what the fuck? And I really also like, the other two I like is the Vegas one against the Chargers. Because it's only, and they're getting a point. And then the other one, like I said, I like that Tampa Bay one. So I will go with the second one being Vegas.
Okay. I like Green Bay too, because you have to bounce back here, and Mullins should not keep up with Rodgers.
No.
And then the banged up factor to it. Do you know what, Falcons have moved to 3.5 now? Just as we've been doing the show.
I thought they were, because that's what I wrote down, 3.5.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were 4, didn't I? They were 4 in my other book. Maybe it's because I switched.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, like this week, my eyes have just been fixed at the top of the board. And that's the first game that came up on Sunday. And then the Friday game as well. So have you locked Green Bay first, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to do something like different here. So the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is take the spreads out of it,
mm-hmm.
and bet the Packers and the Chiefs as a parlay.
Okay.
That would be the first thing that I do. If you bet 100 on that, you can get 171. So
really?
It's not obviously with the same odds that we usually pick at, but there's no way that parlay loses. The other play that I'll give you, and play both, is the Ravens -2. Because I think they bounced back from that loss. They completely and utterly outplayed the Steelers. Like, you'll not see statistics like that again, and the team lost. Just have a look at the odds and everything in that game. So they play the same game this week. They win easily. The Colts are not that Steelers team. And you can't beat that unlucky either. I still think the Ravens are actually a better team, and I think they may reverse that result against Pittsburgh. Like, everybody's now really high on the Steelers now, and they should be because they're like 100%. But I don't think the gap between the Ravens and the Steelers is that big, as wide as the market tells you it is, because the Steelers are now the second favorites to win the Super Bowl at 5-1, and the Ravens have dropped out at 9-1, where they still have to play each other as well. So a whole lot of shit can change, but it needs to begin with the Ravens bouncing back this week, because we know the Steelers are going to win. And that gap between the two of them can't become, I think it'll be 3 games if the Steelers win and the Ravens lose. So, yeah, this is a really important game for Baltimore. Otherwise, they are going to be looking at being the five or six seed in the AFC. And they could come up against this same team again, in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a playoff game, basically.
You know what I keep looking at, because you said, you know, Green Bay and KC just straight up, right? And then I get greedy and I go, who else could you add to that to make some money? And I'm like, okay, Pittsburgh, you would add to that. And I go, ooh, do you add Minnesota to that?
If you have a line for them.
Well, I mean, just straight up. Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that won't lose this week. Like, there's a lot of teams that will not lose this week. Packers should not lose this week. The Chiefs will not lose this week. I don't think Tennessee will lose, but I also don't think they'll cover. But the exclude that one. Let's look at like the life and death situation here. Packers, Chiefs, the Jags are not beating the Texans.
Yeah.
The Texans aren't having the best year, but if there's no quarterback there. And then the Vikings are not going to lose this week if Stafford's not playing. Mm-hmm. And the other one is obviously the Cowboys are not winning.
Yeah.
And that's your 5. And you can even go as far as saying, you know, the Jets might hang around there and play tough because it's a divisional game and like 7 or 7.5 is a lot.
Yeah.
But Patriots win on Monday. The Patriots do win on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be like a lot of square action this week. I'm really going to relook at what I do, because I try to get, you know, sometimes you have a really big winning week and you get real clever. It's like, oh, I'm going to take that, like the fancy play on Cleveland, because Cleveland looked good and now everybody, and then they look shit and everybody's like jumping off. And now I get to buy a good team at a low price of like, it was only a point at the end that Cleveland were favorites by. And the Raiders are just better. And it seems to be like this refusal to accept because of what they've been for so long, that the Raiders are actually good. And there's this like real like dislike and disrespect for like John Gruden as well. But I think they're actually a decent team.
Oh, yeah.
And as I say that, they'll lose to the fucking Chargers this week. But I mean,
they just need a better defense. They had scored on, but they might be able to keep up.
Yeah, I'm interested in that game this week as well as a side piece. But yeah, do my parlay, do Cavs lock on the Packers, and take the Ravens. What was your other one? I forgot.
The other one was Vegas, and then my other one was Tampa.
So we're in agreement, pretty much with our top stuff. So we'll iron it out and get the plays out on Sunday.
All right, could they find all your stuff to get some more money from you professionally?
Yeah, I'm at lockbetting.com. I specialize in politics and soccer now.
He knows our states better than I do. That's the problem. I'm always like, how do you even know of this state?
Oh, reading this shit up. So, like, because I wanted to, like, because they gave you so many markets. And the more markets there are, there's always more hedges. It's like people always say, like, when I give out the soccer, it's like, how do you make so much money on soccer? How do you make all this money on soccer? And then sometimes people sign up, and then, like, you know, if they're in certain states or places, like, oh, I can't find this, I can't find that. It's like, well, if you can't find this and that, that is the edge of taking this team to win, but not just team to win. This team can win and under 4.5 goals. This team can win without conceding a goal. This team will win, but both teams will score in a game. Like all these kind of add-on, like these props that is what makes the soccer betting more profitable. So without, it's not just a case of this team wins, this team loses. It's overs, unders, all that kind of stuff. So you need good books to make money. And that's kind of happened with the politics. It just kind of opened up in terms of betting all these states. And at the beginning, you could parlay states together. And I regret not doing that a little bit more. But I was aware of what the odds for every state was. I had it pretty much memorized in terms of where it would go, to the point where I made the prediction that that Biden would get 290, and it looks like he's going to get 290, which is insane. I
don't know how he's getting 290. I think he's just getting that 270. I think
he'll win Pennsylvania and get 290.
See, I can't believe if he wins Pennsylvania. I know you were going to bet me, and I was like, you got me nervous. I go, fuck, I hope you're right, but I think he's only going to win Arizona, Nevada, and Trump's going to get those other three that are out there right now. But it doesn't matter.
The crazy thing is that the books, the only thing I base my 290 on is that Biden would win everything that he was favored to win. And he won everything that he was favored to win. And Trump won everything that he was favored to win. There were swing states in terms of, like, you know, where they swung from where they were last year. But when the bookies priced them up, it's been one so far. It's been 100% in terms of who was the favorite to win what state. You could have parlayed the favorites for a 50 state parlay, and you would have won.
Jesus, that'd be crazy.
If Georgia doesn't go to Biden, that's still in play, and Trump doesn't get Pennsylvania, although they're still out there. I mean, if you did do that, you'd be sweating it now. But yeah, so far, 46 favorites have won.
There's 86% in Pennsylvania right now, and it's 3-151 to 2-885 in favor of Trump. So, but it, I mean, it was by ahead by a ton. And now they're counting the mail-in ballots, like, and you see Jericho tweeting, Jesus fucking Christ. You know, I'm not political, but has it ever taken this long to get the results? I'm like, oh my God. Meanwhile, someone tweet, well, you're not very political. Meanwhile, they show the statement of him putting money into Trump's campaign.
Yeah, this is the thing when morons start to talk about politics, because it's taking this long to get the results, because it's, first of all, it's more votes in history.
Yeah.
Second of all, Biden has more votes than any other president in history. Mm-hmm. And third of all, like, the whole
deal with
election
mail.
Was encouraged to be mail-in votes because they didn't want you going out, because there's this thing out there that we've not been doing anything all year because they're trying to keep us in or away from each other. Maybe I don't know how Jericho missed that. But
meanwhile, someone goes, don't you remember 2000? It took 39 days. 39. I'm like, so yeah, it's sure. If there's like landslide winds, they pretty much project that night. But when it's close, guess what? This is why it's America and it's good, because they're counting every fucking one, which I think it should be overall that way in the entire place. One by one. No, this state, that state. One by one. Popular vote wins. That's it.
Yeah, that's how most places do it. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously, he's going to cry anyway. Now he's talking about recounts. These votes shouldn't count.
Yeah, it's all that. He wants to pay for a fucking recount on one. And it's only, like we said in the beginning, I want you to stop counting here, but I want you to continue counting there. Well, you can't fucking play that fucking game. Biden made a speech today, and I was like, oh my God, it sounded like a presidential speech. I haven't heard one in a long time.
Before I came on the call, so I was talking to Nick, so I was late. And I said, yeah, I just watched it, and it's like, you know what? This is a grown-up. It was crazy because it's like, I look at him immediately and go, you know, if he says we're going to war, I understand. Like,
yeah.
if he says to me like that, there's like, you know, this is what we need to do about I'm raising this tax or we need to take this action for this virus or whatever. Like, you kind of just go around and go, okay.
Yeah. All right. I trust you. Well, it's the same with me with Foles and Trubisky. If Foles throws the interception the same way Mitch did, I go, yeah, but I trust that Foles was right and that was the best option. When Mitch does it, I go, he's just throwing the fucking ball. He don't know fucking what he's doing. It's the same shit.
I think you want somebody in charge that's like kind of like, you know, who is like a step, like you almost think of your dad. And then you think more sensible than, like, you're always looking for, like, your dad's should be, like, kind of a voice of reason. And then you're kind of looking for somebody who, you know, is like a version of your dad, but, like, even more, like, sort of.
We already had that president. That was Bill Clinton for my father.
So, but you're looking for this, like, super responsible person.
Sure, yeah, you know, sure, of course.
You're not looking for one of your buddies that you have stupid arguments with.
Yeah, like, Trump is me or you getting in as president.
It's like, I won. No, I won.
Yes.
Like, it's like, did you fucking, it's like playing fucking mini golf with someone and they've had it and they've like put a four down when it's a three and there's the kind of shit, the arguments that you'd have over that when you were like fucking, I have genuine like arguments about like fucking computer games and everything about with Austin or just genuinely like, you know, like he's got to the age where I think he's at an age where we can go out and play mini golf or whatever that we mm-hmm. or whatever that we do. Like we went to this place today, and it's like you play Pac-Man, but you're in a box room, and you like you're running inside so basically you have like a headset on, but it's not and. And basically, there's a sensor on it, so you're in the game instead.
That's pretty good. I've never seen that.
Yeah. So,
you're allowed to do that right now, or this was before the lockdown?
No. We did today.
Really? How's that possible?
Because it's just you two in a room, in a box room.
But they let you go out. Like this place is open. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's open, but it's closing tomorrow because we're going to lockdown tomorrow. But basically, like, yeah. It's a big screen in front of you, and there's a mat on the floor. So we were playing Pac-Man, and you've got to like run up and down the mat, like instead of like
being on a joystick.
So you know, I beat him, and I was just like, and I think that he's at the age where I can play that game properly.
Yeah,
it was competitive because he beat me last time, like fair and square. Sure. He really beat me because he's a fucking kid and he wants to run
faster.
That
yeah, yeah.
I'm lazy now. I couldn't bother.
You're overweight and you're lazy.
today I like beat him because I like was more engaged and I wasn't checking my phone in between and whatever and so I think he's at that age and he complained about it and he got pissy or whatever, but he's 9 years old. The leader of the world, which is what he is, cannot do that at all. Like that guy needs, the person who takes that job needs to have complete, needs to have complete confidence in him, and he needs to conduct himself in a way. Look at every movie, right?
Yeah.
Every movie that had a president in it, what does he look like? And what? How does he talk? And how does he conduct
yeah,
himself?
Yeah, of course. Like, older and presidential. Yeah.
It's never been Trump, ever.
No, there's only one video I've seen that I got to send it to you. I think I have in the past. I will send it to you, and I need your reaction to it, because I did a bit on my show in 2016, and it was the day of the election, I think, or day before, something like that, the week of. And I said I went in a time machine, and Trump had won, and here's the audio of it. I am telling you, there is no, it's so fucking close. It's scary. And this movie's from like the fucking 70s and shit. I'll send it to you. So let's get out of here. You can find my nonsense at Lingus Mafia on Twitter and Instagram. And you could listen to my show, which for the free people is out every Thursday. For the Patreon, patreon.com/LingusMafia, it is already out. And there is bonus shows, multiple shows every week. On that platform.
My site is LockBang, by the way. I didn't get to say it. And my gambling Twitter is at SGP Soccer. So that's the sports gambling podcast, soccer podcast that I do, which comes out every Friday. I do two on Friday, the Bundesliga and the EPL show. So at SGP Soccer is my gambling Twitter, if you want to talk gambling and stuff with me. I have a wrestling Twitter as well, but don't worry about it. You know what that one is. We talk about that on Tuesdays. Although that show's a bit rough at the moment because the wrestling's not that great. But yeah, that's it, I think. If we did this, honestly, sometimes if we recorded the show on fucking Monday night or Tuesday morning, I was so fucking hot. And I still would have been if I hadn't honestly made that recovery with the soccer, with the Champions League and the election, I would feel so pissed off and still want to talk about it. I mean, 4th and 16. It's just, you just can't, it just doesn't happen in other sport. It just doesn't happen. Like, the game is over at that point. Like, you also don't get these garbage time points or whatever in anything else. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, when a tennis player's like he wins three sets to love, they don't play the other two sets, you know? It's done. We'll move on again this week and try and claw that back. We're still having, just to reiterate before we finish, we're still having a fucking really good season.
Yeah, we've only had two bad weeks.
It's bad off the start.
In our calculations, bad. Yeah.
Yeah, from based on the start, because now we're starting to, you know, 50-50 it. But if we 50-50'd it from the start that we had, then we would still have four more winning weeks than losing weeks. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you would take that at the start of the season. You would take going 10-6. No, that doesn't add up. How do I get this different? Oh, it is 10-6. Yeah, shit, I was right. You would take 10-6 at the start of the season, wouldn't you? If you say you're going to have your winning weeks for the season, it'll be 10-6, then you'll take it. So yeah, I mean, that's, we're on course to do that. We don't want to do that though, so we really will be looking to get right now. It always gets rough. The weird thing is that the roughest part usually is weeks 2 and 3. You can start okay, and then the weirdest shit will happen in weeks 2 and 3. I've always hated those weeks in September, because you're happy to come back, you get through week one, and it's like, fuck, why was I looking forward to this?
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get to like October, November, you've usually like stabilized it.
Yeah.
But now the funky results are coming up now. So yeah, we just got to be really careful, like, to avoid them. So hopefully, yeah, this week we will do. We'll put our heads together and come up with those plays for you guys.
Okay. All right. That's it, everybody. Go make some money. See ya.